This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The website music station Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining me over the phone is an author. His name is Herb Guggenheim, and he has a brand new book called Resurrection 2020. Hey, Herb, thanks for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. How's everything going?
It's going great. It's great to be here.
And it's great to have you on the air as well. Tell me all about Resurrection 2020, this amazing book.
Okay, Resurrection 2020 is nominally a science fiction novel, and it's about a down-and-out professor who is sort of living in the past. He sort of has a nostalgia for the 1964 New York World's Fair, and he's got a couple of students that hang around with him, and he decides that he has this real fascination with the fair, and he decides he's given the opportunity. Some strangers come to him and present him with a time machine, and the time machine takes them back to the New York World's Fair in 1964. And what the fair turns out to be is kind of a nightmare. It turns out to not be the sweet and gentle an optimistic thing that it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And it turns out to cause the main character and his friends a lot of problems.
It seems like
so,
and it seems like a really exciting book too, because it sounds like, you know, there's just so much going on in it that it's gonna be an interesting read. Where'd you come up with the idea for this? Where did this all originate from?
Well, it came up from my own interest in the New York World's Fair. I was 8 years old when I went to the fair, and I hadn't thought about it very much over the years.
Wait, now hold on a second. How old are you now?
I am. I'd rather not say.
Fair enough. We'll just say you're young, okay? You're young. No, come on, you're young. No, but we're, you know, the World's Fair. I mean, I've always been interested in that too, because, like, I mean, just because of Disney, you know, with the whole, what was it? Every single time he's went to the World's Fair, he always had like this big invention that he produced there.
Disney had four rides or four productions at the New York World's Fair. He had It's a Small World. He had Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Yes.
He had the General Electric Carousel of Progress. Mm-hmm. And then he had the Ford Magic Skyway. So there were three of them were rides, and then one of them was a static show where you watched President Lincoln. And many of those rides have been carried over to Disney theme parks.
Yeah, and you can actually see Lincoln's actual Lincoln in Disney World. It's actually there. They have it like in a showcase. Yes. Which is pretty cool.
Yes.
Got to see that.
Yes. But things don't go well for my characters when they go to the fair. There's a psychopath. There's a psychopath on the loose. There's a young psychopath. He's 17 years old, and he's he's assaulting women, and he's stealing things and so forth and so on. So he's in the book. And then I have another psychopath who is someone that people are probably pretty familiar with. This is the 45th president of the United States, who was 18 years old at the time of the fair. And he's in the book, bringing a date to the fair. And then he also, as an adult, gets transported back to the fair. So we're dealing with two psychopaths, one that we know and one that we don't know. And we're dealing with a lot of difficulties that the characters encounter while they're at the fair.
So you had a BA in literature. You know, you went to school for writing. Where did your interest in writing start?
I've always been interested in writing. I've studied writing with a lot of different great writers. I studied poetry with Henry Taylor, who won the Pulitzer Prize. And I studied other writing, fiction writing, with John Barth, who wrote The Sotweed Factor. That's and amazing. A couple of other books. And also Frederick Barthelme, who wrote the book Moon Deluxe. And so I've had the opportunity to study with a lot of great writers. My life got diverted away from writing. I did other things with my life. I ran a theater company for a while, and I was a social worker for a while and a literature professor for a while.
Do you think that your experience in social work, you know, kind of helped with the writing of these books?
It definitely helps with knowing about antisocial personality disorder. It definitely helps with knowing the kind of mind that goes into the kind of mind that the psychopath has. Mm. So it definitely helps in that understanding of that, and also understanding of other things. There's a trans person in my book, and there are all kinds of other characters. There's a character who's dealing with racial prejudice. Mm.
Yeah, so my sister, actually, she was a social worker too, and she, you know, she tells me all about these crazy stories, you know, and, you know, she works with kids, so it's like, it's heartbreaking to hear like some of these stories, but, you know, I feel like it does help when you're writing a book, you know, to know about these experiences that are so dark and devastating.
It definitely helps. I was a social worker at a psychiatric hospital, and I did all kinds of assessments and led groups and worked with people one-on-one. And I also then had a private clinical social work practice where I was seeing people and offering therapy and so forth. But one of the first things that ever happened to me when I was a social worker was I was working at the psychiatric hospital, and I was interviewing this Hispanic guy, and I said, tell me about your history. And he said, I keyed someone. And I said, keyed? You mean like keyed his car? And he said, no, I keyed someone, meaning that he killed someone.
Oh, geez.
And so that was like my first exposure to a violent criminal. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting.
Wow. And, you know, and from that experience, though, like, does it make you a better writer? I feel like it does, right? Because you now have this, like, you now have this knowledge of, like, how these people interact and stuff like that. I feel like, you know, I mean, back when I was in high school, you know, the one thing that I did during, it was like a writing class, was you had to study people in the hallway and kind of write down what they're doing and kind of write down their feelings and stuff like that. And from there, it kind of helped you become a better writer.
Yeah, it definitely does. There were I did all kinds of writing exercises like that. I remember in high school having to describe someone else in the classroom. You zero in on somebody else in the classroom and you write about them, and then the other people in the class have to guess who you're writing about.
Wow.
So anyway, there won't be any doubt about who I'm writing about when I write about the 45th president. I think that'll be very
That's clear. That's pretty clear, yes.
And I don't know, you're a radio station and you probably have to remain very neutral about, you know, political issues and so forth like that.
Well, me personally, I am just pretty neutral, you know. I don't like to get into that politic crap. but aside from that, you know, I want to talk about you. You know, you have four books that you also written besides this one, you know, making it five books. You know, how do these stem out differently from the one from this new book that you just came out with, Resurrection 2020? Was it more of a challenge to write this new one?
This is the hardest one that I've written. And one of the reasons that it's hard is it's told in the third person, and it's told from four different characters' points of view. So you have things that are going on simultaneously. You'll see one character doing something, and then you'll jump to another section of the book, and someone will be doing something else at exactly the same time. And so there was a lot of there's a lot of playing with synchronicity in the book. There's a lot of experimentation with looking into the consciousness of the different characters. So this was definitely my hardest book that I've written, but I think it's my best. The other two in the series, they're not really like books 1, 2, and 3. They're just a series of related books. One is called Violations of Causality, and the other one is called The Nothingness Imperative. And those two books have at least two of the same characters in them that are in this third book. But this is really a standalone book that can really be read by itself.
That's awesome.
Enjoyed. If people are interested in the other books, they can go back and look at the other books. But this is the one I'm excited about now. So
that's awesome. And it's called, again, Resurrection 2020. Yes. You know, with your history in theater, you know, does that make it difficult to write a book like a book than like a play? Because, you know, you've had that experience working in playwriting.
Well, I think I'm very sensitive to dialogue. I love writing dialogue. And so it comes out in whether it's a play or a novel. Writing dialogue, it comes very easily to me. And I like to have steady streams of dialogue. A lot of my book, most of my books consist largely of dialogue, maybe 75% dialogue.
Nice.
In all the books. So I think it keeps the book moving. I think it keeps the reader interested, and I love writing dialogue.
Nice, that's awesome. You know, I just feel like for me, because I'm a filmmaker myself, and I feel like, you know, writing anything when it comes to like creativity, like you know, like a sci-fi, like you're writing here with the Resurrection 2020. You know, I feel like I'm always just thrown back to that. You know, how would it look on screen? How would it look, how would it look like as an actual movie? You know, have you when you were writing this book Resurrection, did you ever picture this more than just a book?
Oh yeah, I think about that all the time. I think about how these things would look if they were adapted for screen, and if they ever are adapted for screen, I'd love to be the person that writes the screenplay. I would like to at least, you know, a lot of times I think when a writer writes a book, there's a collaborator who collaborates with them on the screenplay, but I'd at least like to have some input on the screenplay if they were going to be made into movies.
Nice. Well, I hope that comes to reality one day, you know, for Resurrection 2020.
Yes.
And if it doesn't, it definitely should, for sure.
Yes.
Let's push that out there. Push that narrative out there.
Let's send that out as a mantra or something. You know, I want a screenplay. I want a screenplay. I want a movie deal. I want a big movie deal.
And I want millions of dollars. That would be nice too.
Yeah.
Yes. Add that to the mantra as well. Millions of dollars for me, movie play for you.
Yes.
Resurrection 2020 is out now. Herb, before you go, you know, where can people get the book? And also, what are you doing after this book?
It's available on Amazon. It's a Kindle book. It's a paperback. It's even a hardback. And it's also an audiobook. So it's going to be released on Amazon, iTunes, and Audible in a couple of weeks as an audiobook.
Oh, nice.
And I think that's
very cool.
It's going to be really good. But people can get it right now on Amazon. If you have an Amazon Kindle Unlimited subscription, then it's a great book. I think it'll be a great read. It'll be great to take to the beach or something like that. What's next? I want to write a book about a genius society. I want to write a book, and I'm right now I'm thinking of it in terms of short stories, but I want to write a book about the characters who belong to a genius society. And, you know, like one of the ones that you hear about on the news periodically. And I want to write their individual stories, because I think these societies, people have a very distorted idea of what genius societies are like. Mm-hmm. And so I want to write that. Nice. I want to write a book about that.
Well, I can't wait for that to happen. And I can't wait for people to read the book again. It's called Resurrection 2020 by Herb Guggenheim. Herb, thank you so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. Best of luck with everything. And I look forward to people reading the book.
Thank you, Zach. It was great talking to you.
Anytime. The Webster Music Station, Z Radio Live, back with more Zach Feldman Show. After this.
Want to hear more? Listen to the Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.